Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Do we realize that we are sinful people? As we were talking this morning about the sin of self-righteousness, I think sometimes we think that we are fine, that we don't need Christ. Friends, all of us need to come to the point to realize that we are sinners. A little bit of background for this text. When we talk about Luke, Luke is one of the, it is the longest book in the New Testament. Matthew has more chapters, but Luke has more verses, and it's the most comprehensive and precise of the Gospels. 24 chapters, 1,151 verses. And when you think about the number of verses, and you think about Luke and Paul being traveling companions, and they wrote the majority of the New Testament. One of the phrases that Luke repeats over and over is "Son of Man." He mentions that 26 times, and that shows the humanity of Christ and how Christ can relate to us. The events of our text are going to revolve around the Sea of Galilee. This is an aerial photograph, the northern shoreline from the southeast. We see some names of some places we are familiar with: Bethsaida, Capernaum, Magdala. Again, if you go there today, you'll see big signs outside of the city, home of Mary of Magdalene, Mary Magdala. When we look at it from a different map, we see Chorazin to the north, Bethsaida. We see Capernaum, which was the base where Jesus operated from in his Galilean ministry. We see other names. We see Tiberias. That was the capital city of Herod Antipas. He had his capital further inland in the hill country. He moved it up to build him a capital city there on the sea. We see also that this name, the Sea of Galilee, there's four different names for this body of water: the Sea of Kinnereth, the Sea of Gennesareth, the Sea of Tiberias, and the Sea of Galilee. And why are there so many different names? That part of it is depending on who controlled that area at the time. They had their own name. And then, just like today, people like to name things after politicians to give honor to them. You can drive through Dayton. You don't know if you're on 1st, 2nd, or 3rd Street because there are names of all these people. It's happened back then. It still happens today. And it's interesting, too, when we think about the events that happened here around the Sea of Galilee, that within this circle, the events that happened here had a profound effect on the whole world because of this man, Jesus. And how did people know what was going on? Because through Palestine, there were three main highways: the Way of the Sea, the Way of Shur, and the King's Highway. And Palestine was strategically connecting Asia and Africa. And people that would travel from one continent to the other passed through Palestine. And the word of Jesus spread and it grew. And everyone knew about Jesus. So let's look at some events leading up to our story. In Luke chapter 4, and verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him, and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. We come to our text here in Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down a net for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of their fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For when he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. When we look at this, several things to point out. Notice that there was a devoted possession. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down, taught the multitudes from the boat. Jesus uses what we have to do his work. And what an honor it is for Christ to use what we have. It's an honor for him to use our house. It's an honor for him to use our car. It's an honor for him to use our computers to do his work. And here, Peter's boat, it was something that he used every day. It was something he used for work. It was just his boat. But Jesus wanted to use it, and Peter was willing to let Jesus use it. How far will we go in letting Jesus use what we have, to use to have for his honor and glory? And in this instance, it was to win or to catch a large number of fish to perform this miracle, which was also going to point toward Jesus telling Peter that he was going to be a fisher of men. So Peter had this possession. He had a command: launch out and let down. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Put out into the deep. Launch into the deep." You think about Jesus giving this command to Peter, and he obeyed it. And later Jesus told him, "Follow me," and he was willing to follow him. When Christ takes possession of us, he also gives us a commission. When we belong to Christ, he tells us to do something. He has a job for us. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. We might be scared to do that, but we must have faith in God. Peter gave a humble response in verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." It's always very trying, you know, after working a long day and struggling all night, and you take nothing in, and then Jesus says, "Launch out." But it's something, sometimes we might hesitate in doing God's work. We tried this before, we tried that, but we've got to keep on trying. In Psalm 30, verse 11, "You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you, and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks to you forever. When we are down, we need to realize that the only way that we're going to be lifted up is by trusting in God. You've turned my mourning into dancing. And you stop and think about when Jesus tells Peter to launch out and let down the net. This is where Peter worked every day, on the Sea of Galilee. This man Jesus, he didn't know the sea. He's from Nazareth. Jesus, he wasn't a fisherman. He was a carpenter. This was the wrong time to fish. This was the wrong place to fish, in the deep. And it's interesting, too, if it had been in some shallow area and he caught a great amount of fish, they could have said, well, Jesus saw the fish over there, and he just told him to take the boat over there and let down the nets because he saw the fish. This was in the deep. They wouldn't have seen him. But he brought in this great amount of fish. So we see that Peter honored God by obedience. He said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter's objection against the thing that Jesus commanded was well-founded from an earthly standpoint, him being a fisherman. Again, it was not a good time to fish. They were tired. They were cleaning up. Let's just call it a day, Jesus. He didn't say that. At his word, he went out and let down the nets. But we see, too, that Peter was somewhat reluctant in this. Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they did this, they enclosed a great number of fish, and it broke their net. Simon's feeling said, it's no use. We've worked all night. Nevertheless, this was not a point to be reasoned, but simply believed. We should not, when we're working for the Lord, we should not let the past hinder us from what we need to do today or going forward. And Peter knows where to find, where to launch out. He knows how to find. And how was it? At thy word. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. When we follow Jesus, we will have success at what we do. And then there was an amazing result in verse 6. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And it seems here, this would have been what we would call a time more out of season than in season. But it was the word of Christ that made the difference. In Psalm 107 and verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. God is going to bless us for our efforts. And we see that there is a unified effort here in verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. You just think about how this had changed in a short amount of time. They'd fished all day and not caught a thing. They were tired. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll do what you say. And they're catching so many fish, the boat begins to sink. And it's interesting, too. They signaled to their partners. This means that they work together. This word is closely related to the word fellowship. Here it isn't talking about fellowship in spiritual things, but just fellowship, sharing together in their work. They're partners. And that's a beautiful term when we talk about the work of the Lord. We are partners working together, doing what the Master tells us to do. We see this recognition that he has. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You stop and think about this. He's confessing basically his sin here because he was reluctant to launch out. Grudgingly, he obeyed. When we obey God, we need to remember when Jesus said, "Launch out," how should we have responded? How should Peter have responded? Remember, when he tells us to do something, we need to obey right away, all the way, and in a happy way, and not grudgingly or, "Okay, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it." So Peter confesses when, after he sees this miracle that Jesus performed, that "I am a sinful man." He recognizes that. But you stop and think about this. It made me wonder, when Jesus was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit descended on him and the heavens opened and this voice came out and said, "This is my beloved Son," we know that the disciples were chosen from those that followed him from the baptism of John. From that time on, Peter would have known about this. Back what we read in chapter 4, down at the end of chapter 4, or backing up to verse 33. "Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him and saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And the demon had thrown him in their midst, and it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? From his authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they came out.' And the report about him went out into every place into the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and he entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them." Peter has seen miracles. He has seen what Jesus did in his own house with his mother-in-law, how she had this fever, a high fever that made her sick, and Jesus healed that. It left immediately. And in verse 40, "And the sun was setting. All those who had any were sick with various diseases, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." This is from that area we looked at on that map. People were coming from all over to Jesus for him to heal them. And Peter saw all of this. He saw all of it. "And demons also came out of many, crying out, saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking him, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." And we drop down here in chapter 5 to verse 8. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" My question is, friends, what does it take for us to fall down on our knees after we've seen everything, read everything that Jesus did, everything that people said about him, that God said about him? What does it take for us to fall down on our knees and say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man"? Peter was in his presence, but he wasn't moved until something clicked. Something clicked. Something then came on. And friends, we need to be careful. We might be around Christ. We might, as we say, go to church three times a week. We might be around other Christians. Peter was around godly people, godly Jews. He was in the presence of Christ. But he had been doing all of this, and then he realized who Christ was and who he was. Friends, we've got to come to that point in our lives before it is too late to realize that Christ is the Son of God. He left heaven and came down to die for us. He shed his blood not for his sins, but for my sins. And then when we recognize that, there's only one possible thing for us to do. It's to fall down on our knees. Say, "Depart from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." And then that should motivate us then to get up off of our knees and to serve him. We have got to come to that humble recognition. Sometimes people talk about something drastic happening in their life. Sometimes we pray when something bad happens, it'll wake somebody up. Whatever it is, friends, we need to humbly recognize who Christ is and who we are. And when he fell at Jesus' knees, that was a spontaneous act of worship. He didn't think, "Now what do I have to do? This is the Son of God." He just dropped to his feet. And what about Christ? Christ received the worship. Well, who's worthy of receiving worship? God, Christ. They are worthy of receiving worship. So Christ is admitting that he is the Son of God. And this acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then once he does that, there's this complete consecration. In verse 11, "So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him." So they had just been going through the same routine day after day, day after day, going out, letting down their nets, fishing, bringing in fish, going back out, going to bed, getting up the next day, over and over and over. And then something clicked, something clicked. And then he completely gave himself to God. "Has the goodness of God as seen on the cross ever led you to cry, 'I am a sinful man'?" Don't we need to say like Simon, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner"? And then we hear Jesus say, "Come unto me." And as a sinner, that's the sweetest words. Once we recognize that we are a sinner, to hear Jesus say, "Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So there is a complete consecration. We see Jesus used what Peter possessed, his boat. He gave him a command, "Launch out." Peter responded, "Nevertheless, at your word I'll do this." He honored him, he obeyed him. We see the result by obeying Christ. Then we see everyone else helping this unified effort. Again, this humble recognition, "I am a sinner," and complete consecration. They forsook all. They forsook all. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Does that mean that they left everything? Well, yes. They forsook all and followed him. Some of them still had families around the area. Doesn't go into detail, but we see that they made Christ their number one priority in life. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So, did they keep on fishing? No, they forsook that. Did they have money so that they could follow Jesus? No, they had to trust in Jesus. And when he would send them out on occasions, he would say, don't take anything with you. You will be provided for. They forsook all. And I think when we think about ourselves, sometimes we don't want to admit that we are a sinful person. After all, we're pretty good. We're better than this person and that person. And then to think about giving up everything, forsaking everything. Well, I need this. I need this. I'll give up this other stuff, but I need this. And I need that, but I'll give up this other stuff. But see, God wants us, he doesn't tell us to go out and get rid of everything that we have. He wants us to be willing to give up anything that stands between him and us. With the rich young ruler, it was his money that stood between him. With us, it may be something else. It may be a job. I don't want to give up this job. I need this job. Well, friends, it may be keeping you from serving God, and maybe if you give that up, he'll give you something that's a whole lot better. When they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So did they have a meeting and say, what are we going to do? Let's think about this. Let's wait a couple weeks and then see how we feel. No, they did it right then. They forsook all and followed him. They could have sat by their boats and said, look at all these fish we brought in. We need to get more boats so we can do more fishing. No, they forsook all and they followed him. Are you ready to leave all and follow Jesus? Are you a New Testament Christian? Maybe you have been and you've gone back into the world. Friends, all of us need to realize that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are sinners. We are here today by the grace of God that he's given us another day to live. Again, this last week we went to the viewing of one of the people we've been praying for. He lived to be 42 years old. None of us know how long we'll be alive here on this earth. We need to make the most of every day. We need to recognize who Christ is. We need to respond in the appropriate way. And then we need to follow Jesus. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Shall we...